You're listening to the Matt Mercer Live Radio Network.
Matt Mercer Live. Imparting wisdom to the masses on a daily basis.
Matt Mercer Live.
Get ready, America.
It's time
for Matt Mercer Live. In 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome, Jacksonville, North Florida, and realms beyond. Listening intently to Matt Mercer Live. I'm your host, Attorney Matt Mercer, from Mercer Law here in North Florida, broadcasting from the Jurisprudential Bunker here in the hallowed radio studios of WOKV in Jacksonville. We've got folks listening live on the internet from all around the world, really, probably. The reach is incredible. I get an email every now and then, and it's always fun. If you send me an email to the show here at WOKV@mercerfirm.com, I'll give you that email again in a second. Don't just write me a question or send me a wonderful comment. Tell me where you're from. How far away? What city are you listening? Let me know if you're listening on terrestrial radio or over the internet. It's super cool. Well, we'll start a little chart. So that email address for Matt Mercer Live, WOKV@mercerfirm.com. And you can email 24/7 with questions. Email us during the show or even after the show during the week if you have something interesting you'd like to know the answer to. We're going to help you make sense out of the law here on your dinner time drive. A couple of things I want to share with you. I gave some of you listened to my interview I gave down in St. Augustine yesterday morning with on a different station, and I got some great feedback on the circle of life topic for business, for small businesses. So I'm going to try to get into that a little bit later in our show tonight. For those of you who didn't hear it yesterday, I'll go through it. The circle of life on small business and some of the things to do and not do as it relates to your business. If you're an owner, if you're a manager, if you're a controller, if you're a procurement person, we've got some great, great solutions and ideas for you from the inception of your business all the way to if you build it up and choose to sell it. We're going to cover that tonight on Matt Mercer Live. What's amazing to me, first of all, I've got a number of, from the consumer perspective, a number of things that just amaze me. How much focus we put on the minutia. We will spend more time reading, researching Consumer Reports magazines and before making a decision to buy a toaster. We'll put hours of effort into it on a $70, $50 toaster, make sure we buy the correct one. And yet when it comes to the big decisions in life, it seems like we just, you know, we sign, we don't review, we don't think through it, we don't seek advice or counsel. And I see this all the time. It's amazing. Yeah, you're gonna start a business, you're going to sell a boat, you're gonna buy a house, you're looking at a contract, a proposal, someone wants to buy your business, you're thinking about, you know, an invention, and you want to approach a manufacturer about, I mean, there's a lot of things that can go wrong, but with the big, big, big items, we often just kind of rush into it, and I think we all do that to some extent. Number of things I want to share with you. First of all, I covered this a few months ago here on Matt Mercer Live. You'll remember I was getting inundated with spam emails. We covered that, I think, last August. But also, you know, we all get these annoying solicitation calls on our phones. We know this. They're really annoying, particularly the robo-dial ones, where it's a recorded solicitation. And I want to update you because I reported this, shared this with you guys. Many of you already know it, but there is a website you can go to and register your phone number. And I did this, and it's worked. Let me share what that website is. Now, I have to qualify this because this is a government website, and at the time that we're doing this broadcast, which is live here in January, so if you're listening to this later in the year with an encore performance, that probably means I'm on vacation. But almost every week I'm here live in WOKV studios. Right now we have a temporary government shutdown. So if you go to this website, it will indicate you can't register right now. So I mentioned that so you don't go to the website and get, you know, miffed or irritated. But this is a Federal Trade Commission. It's got a great website called www.donotcall.gov. I'll give that to you again in a minute in case you didn't have a pen handy. I did this a few months ago. I shared it with you guys. I listed my smartphone number and a couple other phone numbers. And guess what? I'm getting practically zero solicitation calls to those phones now, which has worked really well. The businesses out there that want to be in the business of these ridiculous solicitations, okay, they're offensive, they're annoying, they're distracting. And for the folks that have those phones that you have to prepay the minutes, I mean, it costs them money. But these businesses have to check with this registry managed by the Federal Trade Commission. And if your number's on there, they cannot call. And if they do, you can go back to the FTC, to the Federal Trade Commission's website, and there is a mechanism where you can report that. Let them handle it for you. It's free, and it's worked pretty well. That website, again, www.donotcall.gov. I want to share that with you. Another thing from the consumer perspective, before we get into some of the small business stuff and some of the other things, one of the things that I've noticed in terms of trying to manage the amount of unwanted calls you get on your smartphone, you notice now when you go online, and we all do this, you shop online and they want not only your name and address to ship the product to, but they've now made it a mandatory field in many cases where you have to put your phone number in there. And most of us now are doing away with the traditional home phone. Most of us are just going to smartphones or maybe VoIP. But you've got to be careful giving your phone number out. And there are so many different applications that you can do this in. Let's say you have a property, you want to list it, you want to post that property for sale or for lease. And what number do you want them to call? You're mobile, but now the public has got your number and they're calling in this setting. It can be very annoying. I want to share an app with you that I have been using, gosh, probably for a year now, maybe 2 years, and it's been fantastic. And you can use this to help eliminate having to give out your personal cell phone number. It's called the app. If you go to the Apple App Store, okay, where you can search on the app. The app is called Burner, B-U-R-N-E-R. Now, many of you already know what this is. Many of you already have this app, but I know there are a lot of people, because I mentioned this to folks, and people say, I've never heard of that. That's fantastic. So what is a burner? So a burner means that on your own smartphone, you have another second number. It's a number that you could press a button, burn it, that number goes away, and you get a new burner number. And a few months later, you press a button, boom, it burns that number, you get a new number. And this is great when you have certain applications that you want to have your phone number, somebody be able to text you or call you, or you order something online and you don't know who they're going to sell that number to, and you don't want to get on 3,000 different calling lists. It's a great, great way to do it. Now, when you go to look in the App Store, let me tell you what the icon looks like, because sometimes there are a lot of apps that have the exact same name. So this app has got a white background with a little red phone and an orange flame coming up out of the phone. Try it. It's really pretty cool. It's about, I think it's around $4.99 a month, but you're going to be amazed at how many times you'll be able to use it. And you can dial out through the app, and your caller ID, all right, is going to show up as your burner number, your temporary number. So very, very useful when you're dealing with, all sorts of things, ordering products, et cetera. Et cetera, et cetera. All right. Now, I get asked quite regularly through emails or calls how folks can have a consult with us where we're meeting in a private setting. Let me share this information with you very briefly. We work here in North Florida at Mercer Law. This is my law firm. We've got several attorneys, and we focus primarily on civil law. Most people, when I say we do civil law, a lot of folks don't know what that is. Well, civil law is anything dealing with contracts or land or real estate, money disputes, business fights, et cetera, et cetera. What it doesn't include are things like criminal defense, family law, that type of thing. And so what we do is we have an arrangement where we'll meet with a prospective client. Somebody says, I don't know that I need a lawyer. Maybe I do. I'm not sure. I've got a situation and I don't want to hire a lawyer. I just want to meet and see if I need a lawyer. And that's what we call the initial consult. It's we do it by phone. We do it in our conference room. It's a half hour. It's one-on-one with an attorney. And it gives you a chance to sort of see what your legal options are. And if it's something that the firm can help you with. And a lot of times when we meet with folks, it turns out it's something they can help themselves. We just give them a little bit of guidance or direction, explain the options, explain that they don't have options in some cases, and give them a suggestion on, you know, what they need to do and that kind of thing. But it's also a great way for us to see if this person is somebody that we can help and represent. So if you have a need, if you're interested in an initial consult, call. I'll give you the Mercer Law office number. And I always tell folks, you know, put this in your smartphone because you're thinking, you know, I don't need a lawyer right now, but you might in 6 months. I get a number of calls from folks and they'll say, you know what, I'm glad I wrote that down because I couldn't remember, you know, what your number was, et cetera. So Mercer Law's office number, 904-824-4949. And you can check us out on the web at strategicattorneys.com. That's www.strategicattorneys.com. And there, what's pretty cool, we've all also got a list of all the different practice areas that we engage in. And we list the information on the show. So Matt Mercer Live, we've got our page there. You can submit questions through that and et cetera, et cetera. So check that out, strategicattorneys.com on the web. All right, we've got a couple of things that we are going to be getting into next. I get asked, what are the four types or five types of engagements and how do they work? I've never hired a lawyer. Mercer, what do I need to know? When we get back, I'm going to walk you through it. You're listening to Matt Mercer Live.
Unmitigated talk radio excellence. You're listening to Matt Mercer Live. Matt Mercer Live.
Matt Mercer Live.
Listen a lot to learn a lot. You're listening to Matt Mercer Live with your host, Matt Mercer. Get ready, America. It's time for Matt Mercer Live.
Welcome back to Matt Mercer Live. I'm your host, Attorney Matt Mercer from Mercer Law. I tell you what, this is the dinner time drive here. It flies by, certainly does for me. Hope it does for you as well. Four types of engagements, maybe five. I get asked this. People say, yeah, I don't know if I need a lawyer. What? How does it work? And I can give you sort of the elevator speech on that. In other words, the quick presentation on it. Essentially, there's four, maybe five different ways you can hire a law firm. In the context, if you're a small business owner, you're a consumer, you're having a fight with your homeowner association, et cetera. One would be the lawsuit. That's the obvious one. But the lawsuit, whether you need to bring a lawsuit against someone else or another business or a company or your HOA, or you're defending, you've been served, that's an obvious category. I want to go into some that may not be as obvious. These are ways you can retain a lawyer, whether it's our firm or any other firm. Demand letter. I sort of categorize the next category as you need a demand letter sent to somebody. This is a thorough legal letter, a bulldog letter sent to the other side. Maybe a cease and desist letter. Maybe it's a collection letter. Some company owes your company money. You're tired of not getting paid. You need a collection letter written by a lawyer. That's what we'll call sort of the second category of limited engagement by an attorney. A couple other things. You may have a transaction that you need to do. You may need an instrument prepared. You may need a contract prepared, contract reviewed. Somebody's given your business a proposal. It's a $100,000 deal. What do the terms and conditions mean? What things should be in that proposal that aren't what's not in there that should be in there. These are the things. You know your business better than your lawyer. Your lawyer is going to be able to think in more broad terms in terms of what can go wrong based on the wording in that contract or the wording in that proposal. And you know the pricing, you know the product, you know the service, but what are the terms and conditions? And let me take it from the abstract to the more concrete. If something goes wrong in that deal, where is the lawsuit going to be? Where is venue? Which state law is going to govern that deal if there is a fight, if there's a dispute? Do you have language to protect and limit the liability of your company? We call that exculpatory language. Is the transaction as is? Are there certain implied warranties? Warranties that aren't even written in the contract, but they're implied by law that need to be swept away or disclaimed, or maybe need to be fleshed out depending upon which side of the deal you're on. So there's dozens and dozens and dozens of things. I'll give you a couple other examples. If there's a sale of an asset, what is the due diligence period? When does the deposit go firm so that the seller gets to keep it? How quickly does the buyer have to apply for financing? When do the contingency periods end so you know that the buyer is obligated to either go forward with a deal or lose their deposit, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Regardless of the industry, regardless of, you know, what your service offering or product is, your lawyers, if they have that in their bailiwick, in their wheelhouse, in their practice area, of being able to review the forms that are part of your industry, your business, and advise you on ways to kind of polish them, not only provide greater legal protection, if you will, for your business. But the other thing that I think lawyers can do is try to take the proposal form that you use or your contract and make it look less scary to your customers. This is another thing. A lot of lawyers, they go in there and they use the Times New Roman font. It looks like a very legal, scary document. And, you know, one of the things we've learned is there's nothing worse for your business than scaring away future business because your form looks too lawyerly or too legal. And so, you know, there are a lot of things that you can do. You can get into not only the wording, but even the fonts that you use, the size of the fonts. You can package things in certain ways that make it just as legally effective, but maybe not as intimidating. And so there's a lot to be said about that. Now, that's the third category. The fourth category that I'll reference is sometimes if you're a small business owner or you're, let's say you're a manager in a business or it's within your job in your company, that once in a while, you know, you just need to be able to talk to a lawyer. You need it on an as-needed basis. You need to know that if a curveball comes your way, you need to know that you have a lawyer that's sort of on call, if you will, where, you know, you can pick up your phone, you just got a proposal, your business just got served with a lawsuit, you're not quite sure what to do with this demand letter your business just got. Maybe you're thinking about merging with another company. Maybe you're thinking about bringing on other shareholders. Maybe you're thinking about somebody approached you about buying some of the assets of your business and they've given you this form. You don't quite know what to make of it, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I could just go on and on and on. But the idea is this fourth category, I'll call it sort of have a lawyer or a law firm that is kind of on call for you, the business owner, that is available when you need them. You may not need them for several months, and then all of a sudden, you just need a half-hour phone call. You need some strategy time with your lawyer. And that's another engagement that you can do. What I always encourage people to do is all lawyers practice in different areas, just like doctors. You've got podiatrists and dermatologists, and they're different areas. So it's always a great idea to make sure when you're interviewing a lawyer, so to speak, when you're meeting a lawyer, you're thinking about retaining them, ask them about their specific experience in the area that you need help with. Ask how many years they've been practicing. These are very, very fundamental questions. Ask them whether they play chess or checkers. When I interview attorneys at Mercer Law at my firm, I kind of love to know if people are sort of strategic. Do they play checkers, which is a lovely, simple game, or are they thinkers? Do they really think like they're playing chess? Can they think several moves ahead? I find as far as trial attorneys or people counseling businesses, that ability to think forward several moves, if we move here, the other side's likely to move here in the deal, it can really help. It can help with negotiations as well. So that's another thing to think about. Now, moving on, when we talked about at the top of the show, the circle of life. All right, I've got a few minutes here. We'll start into it. We won't get through it all the way. I shared this during an interview yesterday, and I got several emails with folks appreciating some of the points that we made. The idea is you're starting, let's start with the circle of life for business. And the typical mistakes, if you're starting a small business, or maybe right now, you're listening, you're driving, and man, am I talking to you. You've had it on your mind, you've been working for somebody else, and all of a sudden you've been thinking, gosh, I could do something on my own. This is an opportunity. You don't necessarily know where to begin, but you've got it on your mind. This is on your heart. You feel this entrepreneurial calling. And I love that. One of my favorite features of my job is getting to meet with people and help them implement their entrepreneurial dreams. It's a real privilege and treat for me to see that and to get to participate behind the scenes in a confidential setting in advising folks. But there are common mistakes during the honeymoon phase, and you go forward to from starting the business. The honeymoon phase is you're bringing on, let's say, a couple of partners, and one person has the idea, the other person has maybe some money, and maybe the other person has the time, the elbow grease, the mechanical skills. Everybody's bringing something to the table. And what often happens, the typical pitfall that I see is there's no real documentation to govern the rights of the shareholders. On the front end, we're in the circle of life. By the way, the back end of the circle of life, which we won't get to tonight, but I'll cover next week, is when you've built your business up, it's now worth seven figures or more, and you're ready to sell it. And what are some of the pitfalls at the back end of the circle of life? So now let's focus on the front end still. You've got a number of people, you want to bring them in. Are you the only owner? Are the other people going to be employees, or are you going to be bringing in a couple of people to become partners or shareholders or co-members of an LLC, shareholders of a corporation? Now, this is where things can get really, really, it can become very important to hire a cynic as an attorney. Because when you're in the honeymoon phase, man, it's love. Everything's going to be great. Business is going to be successful. You all will continue to get along, I'm sure. But what happens if you don't? You know, let's say one of the shareholders dies. What happens to his shares or her shares? You're a small, closely held corporation. Your business becomes successful. And now that person dies. And does their girlfriend inherit the shares? Do you now have a new partner, so to speak, a co-owner who maybe you don't get along with? Are there ways to protect against that? The answer is yes. What if one of your shareholders, three or four of you come together to start a business and one of them files bankruptcy? Uh-oh. What if one of them gets sued for an accident, or they get sued where there's no coverage and a judgment obtains or is entered against them, a money judgment, and now you've got a judgment creditor levying with the sheriff on their shares of stock in your company? What does that mean? The translation is one of your partners no longer has their shares, and Attila the Hun is now a fellow partner, fellow shareholder with you. That can be a real problem. Are there protections that you can put in on the front end, right? On the circle of life, on the front end, we can document, design, architect something for you to help you walk through that. I'm attorney Matt Mercer of Mercer Law. Check us out on the web. Here's our web address, mercerfirm.com. That's MercerFirm.com. We'll be back next week.
Matt Mercer Live, helping you get even smarter.